So earlier when we were hearing from Tor, she talked about how violence was an unfortunate aspect of UK society, and that many societies really across the world experience some level of violence. But even if you experience it firsthand, you shouldn't let it define you. And that really sums up our next speaker. Eric Murangwa Eugene, who's an MBE, is a perfect example of this and how he's used sport to heal the deepest of wounds. Please, ladies and gentlemen, can we welcome him on the stage?
My name is Eric Murangwa Eugene. I'm a survivor of 1994 genocide against the Tutsi in Rwanda. I was born in a family where my father was a very big football fan and who always got involved in a number of community football activities. The love and the special link for me with football became more obvious when I joined a club called the Rayon Sport, which was and still is the biggest football club in Rwanda. And this club was also a club that my father was supporting. He then went on to become one of the most important players for that club for a number of years. Then football became more than football for me when we found ourselves in trouble. On the first day of the genocide on April 7th, 1994, my life was spared purely because one of the soldiers who came into our house identified me as Toto. That was my nickname, and they had come basically to kill us, but luckily they were throwing things up. They stumbled on a photo album, and that photo album had so many photos that I had taken during my playing time. From that moment we started talking about football. This is the guy who had come into that flat of mine specifically to kill us, but as soon as he realized I was who I was, everything changed. I've been in the UK since 1997, and my first few years were obviously very challenging. Could not speak a word of English. You know, experiencing winter for the first time, but I've been here for long enough now. I see UK as I don't know if it's I should call it my second home or my first home. Sport and football to me, it means more than just fun and leisure. That's what many people believes. It saves my life, and I believe it can save many other people's lives.
Imagine having an ordinary day. But things were about to change in a way that nothing could have prepared you for. And this is my story. In 1994, I was the goalkeeper of Rayon Sport Football Club, one of the biggest football club in Rwanda. What the video didn't show is that I and my immediate family survived the genocide thanks to the courage and bravery of my teammates who went out of their way to help me and the people I was with. Football saved my life. 24 years ago, when Rwanda descended in total chaos and was abandoned by international community, sporting solidarity became a matter of life and death. Even though I was marked for certain death, my teammates made sure that I and a number of other people I worked with were looked after. They provided us with protection, supplies, and most of all, hope. In my case, my teammate Munyurangabo, he even paid his own money to free me from the hands of militians when they had caught up with me. What these teammates of mine demonstrated was incredible courage, bravery, and humanity. Many people in Rwanda and outside Rwanda lacked at that particular time. Many of them, however, lost their lives. Inspired by their actions after the genocide, they realized that sport had tremendous power to unite where there were wounds, to unite where there were divisions, and to heal where there were wounds, to see the human in humanity. Football saved my life. It transcended ethnic differences and ultimately gave me the belief that it could change many other people's lives. In addition to my teammates' courage and bravery, I have found inspiration as well in the bravery of Rwandan leaders and ordinary Rwandans. But how do you genuinely recover from a tragedy like the one we experienced? Over 1 million innocent people perished in just 100 days. What do you do with a country where so many were perpetrators, and even more were victims? What do you do when all lights go out and darkness appears to have definitely taken over? In the aftermath of the genocide, Rwanda implemented a number of homegrown initiatives. And you can say that both the decision to think and introduce many of these initiatives demonstrated a high degree of bravery by the leaders. But it was equally a sign of incredible bravery by ordinary Rwandans who embraced those decisions and make them possible. Instead of revenge, we have given each other's forgiveness. Instead of continuing hatred, we have learned to love our neighbor as ourselves. Instead of war, we have an authentic peace that surpasses all human understanding. Instead of continuous destruction, there is a marked restoration. The genocide was a horrific period that the country passed through. But at the end of it, Rwanda had no choice other than to start from zero to recover from that dark past and build an exemplary country, a country where new generation are going to live happily. Today, our country is beautiful. The roaring hills that once were stained by blood are now dotted with crops and livestock. Therefore, although I often say the legacy left to me by my teammates has been the driving force behind my personal healing journey and the work I do today, I must also say that the courage and determination and selflessness shown by fellow Rwandans and our leaders have been equally exemplary and inspiring to me. I believe that bravery does not come easy. It takes a lot of sacrifices to be brave, since you need to overcome both internal and external barriers, such as fear, selfishness, and greed. And it can be seen as well as in survivors who, despite everything, refuse to give up. Surviving genocide itself alone is a big achievement, but finding a reason to carry on is an even bigger challenge. And this is the life of many fellow survivors and many Rwandans. That same character and spirit of bravery led Rwandans to learn how to live side by side again and to respect each other's right. Though we don't pretend it's all done, there is still a long way. Despite the challenges, some of us as Rwandans have decided to focus on the contribution we can make to society, both at home and around the world. This is why I have dedicated my life to working towards developing critical thinking among young people and hopefully instilling in them the spirit of bravery to make our world better. Because football saved me, it has been and continues to be a very important part of my life. This is the main reason why, with the support of my friends, I decided to establish the Isham Foundation, an umbrella that brings together two of my old organizations, Survivors Tribune and Football for Hope, Peace and Unity. Ishami is a Kinyarwanda word, meaning branch, symbolizing resilience, recovery, and connection. And I believe this represents who we are as Rwanda, as Rwandans. Our foundation draws on genocide survivors' experiences to connect us all to our common humanity through sport and storytelling in Rwanda as well as in the UK. Our vision is to promote equality, diversity, and lasting peace, and to teach young people to become engaged and responsible citizens, respectful of each other's differences. In short, our motto is changing lives through sport and storytelling. Today, more than 20,000 people here have benefited from the work of Ishami here in the UK through our school storytelling program and activities, awareness-raising activities through sport. In Rwanda, we have introduced programs to empower Rwandan communities to use football as a means of promoting social cohesion, nation building, and improving the lives of all Rwandans. To this day, our coaching program has been able to train over 600 community coaches, and the legacy continues to positively impact thousands of children across the country. Through my organization work, I have decided to look at the future and have chosen to dedicate my efforts to building a better and more society. A society where no child, regardless of ethnic group or any other origin, will ever experience what I and my fellow Rwandans experienced. To conclude, I would like to mention how critical is to be able to continue building partnerships with like-minded organizations and good-hearted people, because without these partnerships and support, our work would never be possible. For the past 7 years, we have achieved a lot, but our goal is to grow our initiative and take our programs to different communities affected by human tragedies. We know this is ambitious, but our experiences in Rwanda have shown that we can do anything we set our minds to. We have every reason to dream big. To enable this improvement and to impact more lives, we always welcome like-minded individuals and organizations for any help as volunteers or any capacity that they can see fit. To inspire bravery in others, we must be brave first. And to create a role model in others, you must be a role model yourself. So join us on this mission, and together we can continue to positively impact and transform lives using the power and values of sport and storytelling. Let us be brave together. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric, for sharing that inspiring story with us. I mean, as you say, surviving genocide is hard enough and already a big deal, but to go through life and then to promise yourself that it's not going to be something that defines you, how challenging was that for you?
It was very challenging, because genocide doesn't only destroy things, but it also pretty much destroys your belief, everything you stand for. So recovering from that, it was and still is a very big challenge. But like I said in my presentation, I think we were lucky to have leadership that had a complete different understanding of how to deal with this kind of things. So their encouragement not to spend too much looking back rather than seeing what can be done to take ourselves away from that terrible, tragic moment was very important for me. But also on a personal level, the way my survival journey happened, the help I received for these individuals who could have actually been my killers, but they did it differently. It really gave me something that pushed me and made me to believe that there is a much good things in people than bad. And even if you suffered so much as I had suffered, I could actually overcome that and do something good for me.
And really, it was in sport that you found hope and inspiration again. Just tell us what it was in particular about football that sort of gave you inspiration, and then to teach other young people about that.
Again, it goes back to how I survived. You know, the courage these young teammates of mine had. For me, it didn't come from nowhere. It came from those hours we spent together on a football field, and you know, playing for our team. You know, building the bond, and I realized that those incredible skills that sport teaches us. It's about being part of a team. It's about being a resilient person. You can take decisions in a moment of difficulties. It's about wanting to help someone next to you so that you can achieve the goal that you need to achieve as a team.
If you were to give one bit of advice to our audience here, especially on the back of the fact that you've said to be a role model, you need to be a role model yourself, what kind of advice would you give to our audience on that?
Because my story is all about sport, I always refer to sport terminology. So the best way to achieve, the best way to do things is to learn how to be a team player. If you are a proper team player, then you are more likely to belong to a winning team. So as leaders, as you know, marketers, you know, always try to play as a team, not just as a, you know, one man or one woman team.
Eric, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.